Good morning, all. Nice to see you all. Is God still speaking today?
Yes.
Good. Good response. Last week, I've had a couple of trips to the airport recently, and a week last Friday, I was taking Pam and Jenny to the airport, and we were chatting about, you know, putting the world to right. We were talking about creation. We were talking about end times, and we were talking about different stuff. And one of the things that I said to Pam and Jenny, my mother-in-law, is we can talk about all these things that we don't really understand, but what about the here and now? So we can talk about end time prophecies and everything that's going on, but what about here and now? Because the only thing you've got is here and now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You've got here and now. And then last week, Pastor John spoke about Zacchaeus. Can I just do a quick poll? Who of you says Zacchaeus? Put your hand up. Who says Zacchaeus? Put your hand up if you say Zacchaeus. Oh, yes. He's... Oh, brilliant. It's these southerners, isn't it? when I first heard Pastor John say Zacchaeus, I'm like, who's he? But one of the verses that Pastor John mentioned was, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. Here and now, he realized what had happened. He realized Jesus and who he was and what he'd done. And he realized that here and now, I've got to do something about it. So I want to talk about the here and now, okay? Yeah, we can look at the past and we can learn from the past. We can learn from our mistakes, but we don't want to allow the past to dictate our future. Only if it's for a positive reason. It doesn't govern how we move forward. I want to read, if you have your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So I want to take a few verses at a time and just see what we get from this. So like we saw from what Pastor John brought last week, Zacchaeus realized here and now, I've got to do something about my life and what I have done in the past. So I want you to bear in mind that what kind of title, if you want, is Here and Now. I've gone a bit old school with this because this passage, I've gone old school because I've got four P's. You don't hear this very often now. This is old school preaching. Four P's. I've got promise, I've got practice, I've got possess, and I've got position. Four P's. Are you okay to go old school? Promise, practice, possess, position. First one, promise, which is verse 3 and verse 4. His divine power has given us everything we need. Now, it's important to know it says what we need. Not what you want, not what you would like, but what you need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Okay, so God has given you everything that you need to live in this life through, so you have to go through your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Okay? Through our knowledge of who God is and what he has done for us. Why have you been called? Why did Jesus go to the cross to die for your sins? Why did all that happen? So you go through that filter of knowing your knowledge of who Jesus is and what God has done for you. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, Jesus Christ, who called us by his own glory and goodness. I've tried to understand what God's glory is like and what it's going to be like in heaven. And I've even preached on it, but I still know there's so much more. You remember I said when I did preach on it that the sun will be no more because God's glory is so bright, so amazing. He will be the sun. He will be the light. He's so good. You see, we're looking at the here and now, so how does this reflect us? Well, we see and we hear of everything that is going on in the world, but yet Scripture says he's given us everything that we need for a life of godliness through our knowledge of him. So this is not a knowledge of learning things, of knowing mechanics and knowing science and knowing, this is a knowledge of God. This is a knowledge of what Jesus has done for us. So that through them you may participate, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. How many of you know that God's promises are yes and amen? Amen. His promises are yes and amen. That he would come and save us. He would give us the Spirit. He would lavish his love upon us. So many promises that you can read in Scripture. So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. And many of you want to be participators in God's divine nature. Hallelujah, through the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Any of you know that there are evil desires out there? There's so much we hear of we've just heard as well, of persecution and the things that we hear, the evil desires, the evil intent that people have. God says that we can escape this corruption. So this is a promise. And we know God's promises are yes and amen. There are promises in the Bible, and if God has said he will do something, he will do it. This is not like your husband saying that he will fix the sink that's leaking. I mean, come on, ladies, there's no need to remind him every 6 months. This is not a promise like a husband promising he'll fix the sink. This is a promise that will happen. Secondly, practice. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. Well, I mean, what does that mean? Make every effort. Do your best to add to your faith. So I think many Christians can miss out on this. Sometimes there can be a theology that is preached that you say a prayer and you ask Jesus into your heart, and that's it, and it's all good, and it's all hunky-dory for the rest of your life. I'm sorry, but it's a load of rubbish. It is theologically wrong. Here, it is clearly saying we've got to work at it as well. Don't get me wrong, we are not saved by our works. We are not saved by the things that we do. We are saved by God's grace. But God has done everything that he needs to do. He's now saying to us, now you do something. Now you step up and do what you need to do. So if you have faith in me, add to that. Add a bit of faith and add goodness to it. And to your goodness, add a bit of knowledge and then a bit of self-control and a bit of perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Add these to it. I don't know if any of you are watching Great British Bake Off. Again, you know, my family loves baking, well, Katie does anyway. And there's many times when Paul Hollywood is tasting things and he will know if something has not been put in. He'll know if there's a recipe, an item that is missing in the baking. Don't he? I remember years ago, Sally baked a cake, and it were in our growth group in my previous church, and she'd baked something, and the person said to Sally, she says, there's something missing in this. And Sally's like, what do you mean? She says, it's missing something. And she knew that something was missing out of the recipe, just because of taste. And I wonder, what do we taste like to the world? What do we taste like to others? As in, is it gentleness and love and patience and compassion? And is it all those things that people see in us? Or do they see a bit of anger and a bit of hatred and a bit of envy and a bit of jealousy? What are they tasting in us? We're called to be a people set apart, aren't we? We're called to be not of this world, but we live in this world. We are to be here to change this world, to make it a better place. And again, God has done what he's going to do. Jesus died on the cross. It is finished, he said. But now God's saying, now I want you to do something. You're my hands and feet. You're the ones that are going to spread this good news. You're going to do your bit. So add to all these things. Again, it's not that we're saved by adding these things. We're not saved by good works. We're not saved by that. We're saved by God's grace. But God doesn't want to just say, okay, have faith in me and that's okay. No, he wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be something more. And again, you could preach a whole sermon just on those couple of verses on what is faith, what is goodness, what is knowledge. And I would encourage you to go home and really search into that. You know, as many of you know, some of you are following me every day. I'm still doing a reading every day. And yesterday, in fact, Cynthia said to me, it were a long one today, weren't it? So I always do it the day before, so it came out today. I would encourage you, go home and read Deuteronomy 28. Have you read Deuteronomy 28? We like to read that little bit that talks about blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face. We love reading that bit, don't we? But the whole core of Deuteronomy 28 is, you go this way, you'll have a blessing. You go that way, there'll be a curse on you. It's very clear. Very clear. Deuteronomy 28, you go that way, there'll be a blessing. You go that way, there'll be a curse. And God is a God of his word. God wants us to be set apart to be more than what we are. Thirdly, possess. Often when we talk about possession, or we often think of it negatively, but God is here. He's saying it, for if you possess these qualities, I love that. If you possess these qualities, the qualities of faith, goodness, knowledge, and these things, if you possess these qualities, so what does it mean to possess? It means literally to take control of, to allow it to be everything that you are. Let faith, you take control of faith, and let faith be a blessing to you and to others, goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance. if you possess these qualities, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So again, it's not about I've done this, or I've showed faith, and or I've showed a bit of goodness, and I've showed a bit of brotherly kindness. I did that once. It's not about that. It's about in increasing measure. So you need to keep practicing at it. How many of you can put your hand up with, I need to keep practicing, because I fall short so often where I don't do some of these. I don't exercise self-control and perseverance and brotherly kindness. God, I need your help. But how good is God that he doesn't just say, get on with it, but he helps us, he walks with us. He teaches us how to do this. So if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, as in getting bigger, getting better at, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Wow. Wow. All those of you out there that have said a prayer once and thought that were it, you're saved and you're a Christian, and you ever feel that you're unproductive? Do you ever feel that you're ineffective in maybe your ministry? I'd go so far as say in your ministry and the things that maybe you feel God has called you to do. If these are not increasing, then very clearly Scripture says that you're going to be ineffective. You're going to be unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's in your knowledge. It's all about Jesus. We all know that, don't we? It's all about Jesus. Our knowledge of him, the more we get to know him, the more we study Scripture and get to know and have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the more productive we'll be in life. The more effective we will be in the things that we do. And you know, God is so good that he won't just keep it to when you're doing ministry. He'll be in your work life. You'll be a real blessing to people around you. People will want to come up to you and ask your advice, and they'll want to be around you, because when you're infectious, when you have a hunger and a desire and a love to serve Jesus and increasingly have more faith, more goodness, more knowledge, more of all these qualities, people will naturally want to be with you. Despite what we've heard out here, Christianity will still grow. It may face persecution. And some of you are from nations that are constantly facing persecution. But God is still on the throne. God knows everything that we are going through and will go through. But that don't mean we're not going to go through it. But if we keep these qualities, these good Christian qualities, we'll still be effective. We've heard how you stand on God's word and you can still be effective. So if we possess them in increasing measure, they will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, position. Position. Many years ago when I started doing my theological courses, one of my assignments was to do Martin Luther's 95 Theses. As I was looking through this, I was kind of thinking about that. Martin Luther was in 1517, was just a bit sick of what the Catholic Church was doing and saying. And he basically said, I am going to nail what I believe are statements and questions that I would ask the Catholic Church. These are what I stand for. And he nailed them to the church door. The main arguments presented by Luther in the 95 Theses were the Bible is the ultimate Christian religious authority, that humans can get to heaven through faith in God, not by doing good deeds. How do you stand here and now? What are the foundations that you build your life upon? Where do you stand? We're living in a world now that is challenging everything that we believe and try to preach. And we are told that you have to do as I want you to do. So if I tell you that I'm identifying as something, I am in effect telling you, you have to do as I tell you. And this is coming on so much on social media, on the news channels and stuff. I'm sure you face it as well, whatever you do in a job, that sometimes on your emails it'll say pronouns. The people are identifying with this. It's a load of rubbish. Can I say that online? I have done. It is ridiculous. Honestly, we have got to stand for the truth. We have got to stand on God's word. 2 Peter 1:9, but if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Please, church, don't forget what Jesus has done for you. Because the world will do everything it can to help you to forget. The world will do everything it can to do away with anything to do with Jesus Christ. Let's not be short-sighted and blind. And has forgot that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Just think of what Jesus went through for the sins that we have committed. Think of what you have done in your past that God has washed clean. And now you can approach the throne of grace with boldness. Hallelujah. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager. Again, this is all like action words. These are all doing the words, aren't they? They're all be all the more eager. Don't just sit back and just allow the world to take it. Let's take it back. Amen. Just like they've said with the Arise stuff. I've had that on my water bottle all year and I take it everywhere I go. Shine brightly for Jesus. What is forgiveness? The world doesn't understand it, but we can bring that knowledge to them. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, here's a promise, you will never fall. Wow. Wow. If you do these things, you will never stumble or fall. If we had have had time, I would have read this from the Amplified version. And again, I'd encourage you to go away and read it from the Amplified. Just the extra stuff to chew on in the Amplified was really nice. And then it says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else want a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Yes, Lord. So here and now, and I'm going to ask Chyla and the team just to come back up. I'm just about finished, but I want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen to this. You may have heard this before. I don't know if it's true. I think it's got an awful lot of power in this little story. Again, we're talking about the here and now. A battleship was on an exercise at sea in really bad weather. The captain was on the bridge. It was really foggy. Just after dark, the lookout spotted a light on the starboard side. The captain asked if it was steady or moving. The lookout replied, "The light was steady," meaning that they were on a direct collision course with that ship. The captain ordered the lookout, "Signal the other ship. Change course 20 degrees. We're on a collision course." The signal came back, "Advisable for you to change course." The captain signalled, "I am the captain. Change your course 20 degrees. I am a seaman, second class. You had better change your course 20 degrees," came the reply. The captain was furious. He sent back a message. "I am a battleship. Change course." Back came the signal. "I'm a lighthouse. Your call." "I'm a lighthouse. Your call." You know, the world will shout at you as a battleship and say, "You've got to move. You cannot stay where you are." If you're built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, you say, "I'm a lighthouse. I am shining bright with all that Jesus has done in my life, and you will not move me." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, help us to nail our colours to the mast. Help us to stand strong on all that you have done for us. Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. God, we praise and worship and adore you. Hallelujah. Be glorified in our lives, in this church, in all that we do. Let us shine brightly for you, Lord. Amen.